Thank you, Brother Gerald. Thank you also for leading us in those good gospel songs. I'm sure they blessed our hearts. The singing of the choir blessed my heart, as well as those special numbers. And Brother Gerald, you might pick out a few verses of a hymn to close with. It is a real joy for my wife and I to visit Spanish Wells again. Spanish Wells is a beautiful place to visit, a wonderful place to live. But I know of a better place, better by far. Heaven is a wonderful place, filled with glory and grace. I'm going to see my Savior's face. Heaven is a beautiful. Heaven is a glorious place. Tonight, I'd like to speak about heaven. And let me say, it's something we should think about often. It's real good to turn our minds away from this world with all its troubles and trials, with all its strife and violence, with all its problems, and think about heaven. I have found that it is beneficial to the soul that when you're thinking about heaven, you're a blessing to other people. And I'm sure it is pleasing to our Father in heaven when we think about the Father's house. Now, some people, when they think about heaven, they think of a state or a place. Well, it is both. That is, it is both a condition and it is a place. Some think of heaven as a city, or a kingdom, or a country, and it certainly is wonderful to think of it as Emmanuel's land. But I especially like to think about heaven as our Father's house, yea, our eternal home. As I said at the Robbie Nick funeral on Friday afternoon, the best way to spell heaven is H-O-M-E. When we believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, we become strangers and pilgrims in this world, and we're just passing through. When the journey comes to an end, we reach our destination, home. Now, you've heard the expression, over the hill. Older folks are sometimes referred to as being over the hill. Well, I have a confession to make tonight. I am over the hill. I found that out several years ago when I was out in Seattle, Washington. I was walking in the hilly downtown streets with a couple of friends of mine, and we heard a tap, 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 tap behind us. And we looked, and it was a little old lady with a walking stick or a cane. And pretty soon, she passed us up and got way out in front. Now, when that happens to you, when a little old lady passes you up, you know you're over the hill. But you know, there's something good about being over the hill. Let me see if I can illustrate it. My wife and I were living out in Albuquerque, New Mexico, back in 1959, and I used to go on missions to the Navajo Indian Reservation. One time I was coming home traveling from west to east toward Albuquerque, and it was a bitter cold night, and the highway was icy in places, and I was quite anxious to get home. Some cars had skid off the road. I was a little bit apprehensive, but praying. But finally, I started to go up that last long hill before seeing Albuquerque. And it was a slow climb, but when I got up over the hill, I could see the Rio Grande Valley, the river. I could see the lights of the city, even the area where we lived. I was over the hill, and I knew it wouldn't be long before I was home. And so, if you're over the hill, just think, it won't be long. My heart skipped a beat when I went over that hill. I knew I would soon see Maddie and the children. And so when we're over the hill, our hearts begin to skip. We know we're soon going to be home. In fact, every believer, every true Christian may soon be home because the Lord is coming back. Maybe soon. Now, we might turn to John chapter 14. Look at some familiar verses. Gospel according to John, chapter 14. Our message is heaven and how to get there. Lord Jesus said, "Let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me." That is, trust me. "In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. And whither I go ye know, and the way ye know." Thomas saith unto him, "Lord, we know not whither thou goest, and how can we know the way?" Jesus saith unto him, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me." And then to 2 Corinthians chapter 12. 2 Corinthians chapter 12. Verse 2. The Apostle Paul writing, and he says, "I knew a man in Christ about 14 years ago, whether in the body, I cannot tell, or whether out of the body, I cannot tell, God knoweth. Such an one caught up to the third heaven." And we believe Paul was referring to himself, because 14 years before this, he was stoned and left for dead. And then he says, "And I know such a man, whether in the body or out of the body, I cannot tell, God knoweth, how that he was caught up into paradise." Now finally, to one verse in the book of Revelation, chapter 21. Here we have a bright new world, a beautiful new city, yea, we have the eternal state. And in verse 4, John in his vision says, "And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, neither sorrow, nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. I'd like to follow a very simple outline. First of all, where is heaven? Secondly, what is heaven like? Then what will we do in heaven? How long will it last? Who will be in heaven? Why can we go to heaven? And how do we get to heaven? First of all, where is heaven? Well, as far as the longitude and latitude in this universe, we do not know where heaven is. We do not read in the scripture of the exact location. We do read that heaven is up. We do read that the Savior came down from heaven. Now, the scripture speaks of three heavens. The first verse in the Bible, by the way, should put heaven in the plurals, as it is in the Hebrew. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. The first heaven is the atmosphere around this planet, where the birds fly. The second heaven is the starry heavens, and a few spaceships have penetrated the edge of that heaven. And then the third heaven, which Paul called paradise, is the dwelling place of God. And it is that heaven that we refer to. And where is it? It is way, way out there beyond the starry heavens. Now, several years ago, some Russian cosmonauts went out into space. And when they returned, one of them reported that they saw no heaven out there and no God. Poor man. Not long after that, he found out the truth because he didn't live long. He died. And the truth of the matter is that God has put heaven far beyond the reach and the gaze of mortal man, way out there beyond the starry heavens. And though it may be so very far away, yet it can be very near. It can be but a step away. It can be but a breath away. One moment we might take our last breath of air at Spanish Wells, and the next moment, breathing celestial air. In other words, we die, and it doesn't take long to get to heaven. You know, I often, as I live on the coast of Georgia, I often take flights to Dallas or Chicago or Washington, D.C., and I board a plane at Jacksonville, Florida, or Brunswick, Georgia, and they always take me through Atlanta. I have to get off, walk through the terminal, and board another plane. But I thank God that when I go to heaven, I will not have to go through Atlanta. It's going to be, praise God, a direct flight. Oh, one moment here, the next moment there. Or as we heard Friday, absent from the body to be at home with the Lord. Hallelujah. Now, what is heaven like? Here again, the scripture doesn't give us a great deal of detail. And perhaps that is because our finite minds would not be able to grasp it. For instance, if you went down to the Brazilian jungles and you talked to those people about life at Spanish Wells or life in the United States, and all they knew was the jungle and the river and the huts and the birds and the fish and the reptiles and the animals, and you tried to tell them about communications, how you can pick up a phone in Spanish Wells and in 30 seconds call California, how you can view on a television set something happening halfway around the world and look right into the face of the person who might be speaking. You try to tell them about the computers and the copiers and all the technical advances in medicine and so forth and business. They wouldn't know what you were talking about. And so I think the Spirit of God would have the same difficulty in trying to convey the beauties and wonders of heaven to us. In fact, I was looking at the board out there, the speakers that you've had this year, like Rod Sharp and Hesketh Johnson, Ed Allen, Tom Roberts, Bob Clark, Philip Morgan, others and so forth. But supposing we could send all of them to heaven for 1 year, and then they could come back and give us a report. And then we went on to heaven. You know what we'd have to say? The half has not been told. Heaven is so beyond our thought that we just can't really comprehend. But oh, one of these days, the dawn of heaven is going to begin for us, and we'll find out what it's really like. Now, we do know that the things that are going to be in the infernal realm are not going to be in heaven, and the things that mar this temporal scene today are not going to be in heaven. In fact, it has well been called the land of no more. For there is going to be in heaven no more evil, no more sin, no more wickedness. Rebellion will never raise its ugly head in heaven. And when I was first saved, a few weeks later, someone told me I could lose my salvation. Well, I found out that God makes us just as safe and secure as He can when we believe on His Son. But during those days of struggle, I used to think, well, what if I got to heaven, and after 10,000 years up there, I did something wrong and was evicted? That's the way I was thinking. But I have found out that when we get to heaven, it'll be impossible for us to sin. Right now, we have a perfect standing with God, and when we get up there, we're going to have a perfect nature. Yea, we're going to have the likeness, the spiritual and moral likeness of the Lord Jesus, and it'll be impossible for anyone to sin in heaven. Hallelujah! No sin in heaven. And so there's going to be no strife, no violence, no stealing, no murder, no rape, no lawyers, no judges, no jails, no penitentiaries, no policemen in heaven. And then there's going to be no sickness in heaven. No pain. When you leave this world, you can leave your canes, your crutches, your medicine bottles behind, because we'll never get sick in heaven. There are no clinics, no hospitals, no nurses, no doctors in heaven. Now, I made that statement in Orlando, Florida, and there was a doctor sitting down there in the third row, and he raised his eyebrows. And I had to explain, of course, that no doctors will be needed as far as their services are concerned. And then, thank God, there's going to be no bloodshed, no horrible wars, no strife, no revolutions in heaven. And then We won't have to pay utility bills, insurance premiums. We won't have to pay rent. We won't have to pay taxes. And there'll be no disappointments, no frustration, no weariness, no loneliness in heaven. It's going to be a place of wonder and beauty and glory. It's going to be a safe place. It's going to be a satisfying place. It is going to be a splendid place. It's going to be a place where our joy will never cease, where peace will never be disturbed, where love will never wax cold, and where praise of our God will never end. And up in heaven, the flowers will never lose their fragrance, and the birds will never hush their singing. Now, I put that latter part in there for you to think about. Are there going to be flowers in heaven? Are there going to be birds in heaven? Now that brings us to our next point. What are we going to do in heaven? What are they doing now? Now some people think we're going to sit on a cloud and play a harp. Well, I wouldn't mind doing that, but heaven is going to be much, much more. I think of heaven sometimes as like going to meeting. What do? We fellowship. We enjoy one another. We share things together. We encourage one another. It's fellowship. But you know, here on earth, sometimes our fellowship can be a little difficult. Someone has written these words, "To dwell above, oh, that will be glory." Oh, to dwell with saints above, oh, that will be glory. To dwell with saints here below, that's a different story. But praise God, there will be no friction in our fellowship in heaven. It'll be perfect. And we not only fellowship when we come together, but we learn. We never outgrow our need for ministry. When we get to heaven, we're going to learn. Some people have the idea that the moment we get there, we're going to know everything like God. No, I think we're going to learn about Him throughout the ages of ages. It's going to be a constant revelation of our great God, an unveiling to us of His great love. And we're going to learn the wonders of creation, perhaps, and more of the wonders of redemption. And then I think we're going to learn why so many inexplicable things happen to us on earth. So often I have said, "Why, God?" And I'm sure you have too. But we'll find out the answer when we get to heaven. Then when we come together, we serve. And I believe that we're going to serve in heaven. In fact, we read those words in Revelation 21 or 22. His servants shall serve Him. I don't know exactly what we're going to do, but it will be our joy to do it. Some people think we're just going to rest and sit around and do nothing. Heaven's not going to be boredom. I believe we're going to use our minds and use those new bodies that we have to do things for the Lord. And then when we get to heaven, we're going to worship. The Apostle Paul says God is going to be all in all. That means all the focus is going to be on Him. And here we often have to get into the spirit of worship. Or we have to try to force some worship. In heaven, it's just going to flow out of our hearts as we see our great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. And then finally, when we get to heaven, What do? When we come together? We sing. And I believe we're going to sing in heaven. It's wonderful to hear a 1,000 voice choir sing the hallelujah chorus. Think of it. When we get to heaven, we're all going to be in the choir. All the saints, millions and millions of them. And we're going to sing without rasping voice. We're going to sing in perfect harmony what Frank Perry calls heaven's national anthem. Worthy, worthy is the Lamb that was slain. Oh, how wonderful it's going to be to hear that joyful sound. We're going to make this whole universe re-echo the praises of our great God. Oh, we're going to do things in heaven. Now, how long will it last? Or I'll put it this way, when will heaven end? And the answer to that, of course, is never. Sometimes I drive through Georgia, and alongside the highway there'll be an old house that has fallen apart, fallen into ruin. Then a mile down the road I'll see a cemetery, and I think, well, maybe the children who played in that house 90 years ago, now their bodies, when they grew old, died, and they're in that cemetery. Well, you know, the Father's house will never fall apart. And up in heaven, we'll never grow old. We'll never develop wrinkles. We'll never develop gray hair. We'll never become feeble. Our bodies will never wear out. They'll never break down. In fact, I haven't mentioned this yet, or have I? In heaven, we're going to have new bodies fashioned and fitted for the realms above. Bodies like that of the Lord Jesus. We're not going to look like Him. We're going to bear the image of our bodies here on earth. But praise God, they're going to be new. And they're going to be different. And they'll last forever. Now, people ask me if there's going to be time in heaven. You know, we sometimes sing, when the trumpet of the Lord shall sound and time shall be no more. But we also sing, when we've been there 10,000 years, bright shining as the sun. Well, will there be time in heaven? I believe there will be. Paul indicates in Ephesians something about the glory of God throughout the eons or ages of ages. There's going to be time. How could you sing without time? But we're not going to be restricted by time. We're not going to be limited by time. It's going to be different. Paul put it this way, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Hallelujah. And I like what David said, I shall dwell in the house of the Lord. How long? Forever. And now, who's going to be in heaven? Well, God will be there. And oh, when we first get there and see the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ, what a thrill that will be. And then we'll be all at the sight of all the holy angels. And then all the saints of all the ages are going to be there. And you know what I believe with all my heart? That everybody is going to get acquainted with everybody in heaven. We're going to meet Noah and Moses and Jeremiah and Samson and Hannah and all these Old Testament saints and Peter and James and John and Mary And then the saints of the church age. We're going to meet David Livingston and Dwight L. Moody and Fanny Crosby. All the saints are going to be there for our fellowship. And then we're going to be reunited to those loved ones who have gone before. You know, it's not the life they lived that got them there, but their faith in the Savior. And we're going to be reunited to those mothers and fathers and brothers and sisters, to those sons, to those daughters, to all those friends who have gone before. What a day! Glorious day that will be. But now I have to ask a question. Will you be there? You know, I was once an unbeliever. Then I became a make-believer. I pretended to be a Christian. Thank God I finally ended up a true believer. My friend, make sure you're not just going through the motions, that you've really put your faith in the Lord Jesus, because it would be a tragic thing to miss heaven. I spoke on heaven here a number of years ago. The chapel was much smaller then. And after the meeting, I went out to the vestibule and some of the brethren gathered on one side, and they started speaking about the message they had heard, and one of them said, "Oh, heaven, what will it be like?" And then one of the brethren said, "What will it be like to be there?" And then one of the brethren said, "And what will it be like not to be there?" Think of it, my friend, cut off from the presence and the glory of God forever and ever, shut out of that beautiful place when you could have been there. Oh, my friend, make sure tonight that you are saved. But now that brings us to our last 2 points. Why can we go to heaven? Why? Because God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. On one hand, God had a wicked world, undeserving of any mercy and grace. And on the other hand, he had his beloved son. And the only way that he could spare sinners was if he spared not his son. And he spared him not. He gave him to a humble birth at Bethlehem, to a life in which he was despised and rejected of men, and to a death of suffering and shame. And I often think God had to restrain the angels when men spit upon their Creator. God had to hold them back as they smote him and scourged him, because there was no other way in which a holy God could save a wicked world, or sinners like you and me, apart from the death of his son. And it cost the Lord Jesus infinite agony. But you know, God the Father was there, just like Abraham was with Isaac. And I've often said, the nails that pierced the Savior's hands pierced the Father's heart. God loved us to such an amazing, such an astonishing degree that he gave his son. And the Lord Jesus loved us so much, he died the death of the cross, bore your sin and mine. And hallelujah, he was raised from the dead because he finished the work that saves. Hallelujah. That's why we can be saved. Now, finally, how can we be saved? I was at a Bible camp one summer.
And I had a good number of boys out there. And I said, now, how can we get to heaven? One boy put up his hand, and I recognized him. And he said, that's simple, Mr. Fred, or Mr. Happy Rock, whatever he called me. He says, all we have to do is die. Well, there's more to it than that. Heaven is a prepared place for a prepared people. Everybody isn't going to heaven. It requires repentance toward God and faith in our Lord Jesus. Those are the terms. God has made them very simple. By repentance, we recognize that we have sinned against God. And in faith, we simply believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, every week, I tell somebody, I'm going to heaven. You know, we might be talking about the crime situation or things here on earth. And I say, well, I thank God that I'm going to leave all this someday and go to heaven. And I'm going there because of my good looks. Then I get a lot of strange looks. And I get some strange remarks, too. One man looked at me and he said, no way. And a young lady looked at me and said, you might make it. And I said it to a nun. And she had said, I think you need more than that. But then I explained it. First of all, I took a good look at myself and I saw something wrong. I wasn't doing what was right. I was a sinner before a holy God. Then I took a good look at the cross and I saw the Savior dying for our sins, dying for my sins. Then I took a good look in the book. And I saw that if I put my faith in Him who died and rose again, I had God's word for it, that I would go up there. And so because of those three good looks, I'm going to heaven, and that's the only way to go. Christian, if you ever talk to a soul, remember they've got to see their need. They've got to see their need provided for by God at the cross, and then they have to respond the responsibility to believe on Him. And if you're a sinner here tonight, you must realize you're lost. You must say, I must be saved. And then you can go on to say, I can be saved, hallelujah. And then it's up to you to say, I will be saved and receive the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior. Then if we die, we have God's word for it, and He cannot lie, we'll go to heaven. But, you know, we may not have to die because Jesus is coming again. Hallelujah. And if He were to come tonight, His coming is imminent. Maybe morn, maybe noon, maybe evening, maybe soon. If He were to come tonight, in the next minute, every true believer would be raptured, taken out, putting on immortality. And if you're not a believer, you will be left behind for the great tribulation which is on the world's horizon. You'll miss heaven. God forbid. If I can help you, please come up and talk to me. Or if I'm out there by the door, see Mr. Donald or someone you have confidence in. But don't go another day without being saved. You might miss heaven. I remember a boy up in Canada, a young man. He was sitting in the back and he wasn't saved. And as soon as the meeting was over, that gospel service, He got out of the door as fast as he could, and he was going down the street, and he saw a sign flashing, "Hell! Hell! Hell!" And he ran back to that chapel. God spoke to him through that, and he got saved. And he found out later it was a Shell gasoline sign with the S burned off. But you know, God can use something like that. Whatever it takes, may you get saved. Brother Gerald, if you'd lead us in a couple of verses of a hymn in closing.